Welcome back to another episode of Providence Coffee Talk. Pastor Charles here, and I am excited to get to come to you guys this week. And it's been kind of an interesting week for me here because there's just been so many things happening. In fact, in this moment, I am heading to Arkansas to make sure that I can be with my family as we just spend some family time together. I want to say thank you so much for everybody that's been praying for our family. It's been such an honor to have so many people praying alongside us and with everything going on. And it's just been really appreciative. And so with that being said, this week is kind of an odd week for me as I'll be working a lot remotely and just kind of in and out. So I am available. If you've got some things that are going on in your life, please feel free to reach out to me, talk with me. I'd love to talk a little bit more about that and all these things. So, but today is going to be an interesting episode because we're going to continue our discussion on the church and family. And we're only going to have a few more parts to this because I don't want to take it to a point where it's like, okay, well now what do we talk about? But we're going to continue that conversation on that today. And, it's going to be kind of an interesting topic, I think, and it might cause a lot of questions to come from it. So, I just hope that as you guys are listening and thinking, like, consider some things and don't be afraid to reach out and to ask questions. Again, I'm always under the impression that I don't know everything. And I don't think that God has gifted us in knowledge and understanding to know everything, because if we were able to do that, then why would we seek wisdom and understanding in all things? So. But with that in mind, I do want to give you a couple quick announcements that pertain to our church and just some things that are coming up this week. If you are part of our senior adult ministry, we are having some more lunches coming up where we're discussing more of what that ministry is going to look like in the future moving forward. So I want to encourage you to get signed up for that and to be a part of that. Also, we've got a worship night coming up on November the 17th. This is kind of a brainchild of mine where I envision just the people of our church being able to come together to have a time of prayer and scripture reading, and then a time where we just get to acoustically and really simplify the process of just coming together to sing songs. We're going to try to kick this off and see how it works, and then we'll go from there. And if God leads us in other directions as we do it, we're going to be sensitive to that and listen. But for this main purpose of this time and on the 17th, it's just to come together and worship God. And so we're going to focus in on that a little bit as we get ready for this season. With that in mind, don't forget Thanksgiving is coming up. We do have some holiday things that are happening, especially some things coming up in December. And so just kind of be aware that as we get closer to that, we'll be talking about more of those events that are happening. Biggest thing there is we really want you guys to spend some time reaching out to the people that are in our community and inviting them to come in and to be a part of what is going on. That is essential to us, making sure that we are doing kingdom work at all times, that we are always placing our desire to be in front of people, sharing with them the good news of Jesus, sharing with them the good news of the gospel, and also sharing with them how they can be a part of a community that helps them better understand that and helps them grow in that way. So don't be afraid to kind of do that this week and chime in and be a part of just the good things that God's doing in Providence. So, all right. So before we do get in, I do have a cup of coffee with me today. And this cup of coffee actually came from Pitt and Allie Hughes. I think in one of her last trips or his last trips or somebody's last trip down to Selma, Alabama. You have to make sure that you say those things right. But this comes from Revival Coffee Company down in that area. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not much of a flavor roasted coffee person. I usually like my coffee to be from some country that I've never heard of in my life or been to. And then I expect it to be roasted in such a way that I can taste all these beautiful, wonderful things. But this is a coffee that has actually been fixed with flavoring, I guess is the best way to describe it, and roasted with it to create a what they call a butter caramel flavoring. And I'm not going to lie, it's a decently good cup of coffee. When you just drink it straight, and I'm sure if some of you guys like a little cream and sugar in it, you can really get some of that kind of flavor to pop out. But it's really not a bad coffee. It's good. It's flavorful. It smells great. And so I'm going to kind of take it as a win, though it may change my opinion a little bit on some flavored coffee stuff. I'm not going to lie. If you ever approach me with like a blueberry coffee, hands down, that's one. If we were going to a flavored coffee, blueberry coffee, hands down, is going to be what I refer to as my favorite. But this one's really good. So it's from Revival Coffee Company down in Alabama. Really cool. Thanks to the Hughes for getting that to me. It's been a good sip. So as we get into it today, grab a cup, take a sip, and let's get into it. So one of the things we've been talking about on the family and the church is we spent some time last week talking about what a godly home was and what that looked like. And some of the principles that we kind of drew out from that were principles that I just kind of believe in my own life. I'm responsible for as a husband, and I'm responsible for as a dad, to bring about an atmosphere in my home where not that you can just feel God's presence, but that you can live in God's presence when you're here, and that you have the freedom to live in God's presence, that my kids have the freedom to maybe ask me questions that are on their mind. Even questions of doubting and even questions of concerns, where there's not just this idea that they are just supposed to obey everything all the time, but that as I'm living out my life before Christ, that hopefully my family will be able to respect that and honor that. And then when we sit down to have these conversations, that there is a mutual respect and honor that comes from us knowing that we are all striving to hopefully accomplish the same thing. And that is to, again, create a home that is full of the love of Jesus, where our family can feel that and experience that at all times. So within that conversation, what that also did was it brought about the idea of understanding, well, if we're creating a godly home and we're creating a godly kind of atmosphere in our home, then what does godly roles within the home look like? Now, again, this gets to a part where a lot of people have a lot of opinions on this. And I'm not saying that I'm ascribing to one camp or the other. I'm not saying that I put all my eggs in one basket on this, or I'm gonna focus primarily on saying, well, this is what it is, and this is the hill that I'm gonna die on. And if you want to die on this hill with me, just send $19.99 for 4 easy payments and shipping and handling, and I'll make sure that you have the resources to die on this hill with me. But rather, I think the idea behind this is to better help us understand how our faith in Christ plays into the realities of our home. And so when we begin to understand and talk about the roles of a godly man and a godly woman, it's easy for us to look back in Scripture and to say, well, you know, Scripture is pretty clear about the roles of husbands and wives. And I would say maybe. I think that there are some principles and some things that we can learn about husbands and wives, especially in Scripture. But I don't think that there is a play-by-play scenario of what a godly man and a godly woman, especially in a marital relationship with children and, you know, 2 dogs and a mortgage. And like, you know, if you're like me, you have 3 cars because you can't just get rid of one yet. But I think that there are some things that Scripture does clearly talk about is the relationship between those offices in the home and primarily in like husband and wife, the relationship between a man and a woman, and the relationship between parents and children. And I think that there are some things there that are important for us to remember. And part of that deals with the understanding of how we view submission. You know, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, the Apostle Paul begins that process of writing to the church at Ephesus, and he tells them that wives are to submit to their husbands as to the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, that he is the savior of the body. And when we begin this conversation about talking about submission, this is kind of this verse and passage and this idea that we pull towards. Paul writes about it in Ephesians. He also writes about it in Colossians. We also see that Peter writes about it in 1 Peter. And you can look throughout other New Testament literature that there is this idea of submission that exists within the New Testament framework. But I want to venture into saying that what we mistakenly do a lot of times within the church is we isolate submission, and we isolate the understanding of submission specifically to the office of wife in the home. And we neglect the part of these passages that speak directly to the way that a husband is supposed to submit himself to in his office to that of Christ. And we believe that if we looked at these offices from if we looked at the individuals on their own, we would believe that an individual man and an individual woman should be submitting themselves under the authority and the leadership of Jesus Christ. So what we're doing now is we're taking these two people, we're bringing them together in a home, and we're getting in the process of saying, okay, wives, you're to submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. And when I bring this passage up in every single wedding ceremony that I do, I remind them and refer to them a little bit further down where it talks about husbands are to love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. And he did this to present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. And in the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, right? And so you see, not only is there this position that wives should be under a submissive understanding of their husbands, but I also believe that in reading this and seeing this, that it's almost like there's this understanding that it's in as much as your husband is submitting himself under the authority of Christ. Now, one of the things that people will say is, well, wait a second, that contradicts what Peter says in the Bible about, wives submitting to your husbands, even if they don't believe. There's a couple things that we have to remind ourselves here. Number one, the Apostle Paul is writing this letter not to a random group and not to a random culture, but he's writing it to the people that are involved in the church, that are people that are involved in the body of the church. And he's really writing in such a radical way because these are new concepts and new ideas that are existing within the dignity and the reality of humanity that exists between man and woman. So all of that to say is, I think that when we read this, we have to read this with an understanding that, and I do this in every marriage ceremony that I do, that the wife is to submit to, or that word there is to subject or subordinate. So in other words, kind of to operate underneath the authority of their husband. And in as much as, and I say this is in as much as the husband is submitting himself, or he is subject to and subordinate to the authority and the leadership of Christ. Because I'm going to be completely honest with you guys, especially men. Your wife is going to have a simpler time following your leadership if you are submitting yourself daily underneath the authoritative leadership of Christ. Let me say that again. Your wife will have a much easier time submitting herself or subordinating herself or operating underneath your leadership if you are doing the exact same thing that you're asking her to do for you, if you are doing that in your relationship with Christ. But here's the problem sometimes. Sometimes we believe that our families are there to serve us and to serve our needs. And so that means that we take that word submission and we co-mingle it with the word service and serve. And that's not exactly what those two words mean. To operate as an individual believer underneath the leadership is not the same as groveling at the feet of someone and being this dictator authority over your family, and they better do what you say or there's going to be consequences. And so there's two different dynamics that exist there. One is a very loving dynamic that is humble before Christ, that sees his family as the fruit of Christ, as children of God, and he operates in such a way to lead his family to spiritual growth and maturity, to show them love and to show them grace and to show them mercy, and to lead his family to do the same. And in so doing, his wife and his children follow his leadership because they trust in their father that he is going to take care of them. And if we are to love our families and love our wives as Christ loved the church, we must also remember that the church is the bride of Christ, that we are to submit ourselves as a church underneath the authority of Jesus. And so with us doing that, it would be natural for that hierarchy to work out. But so many times we use the idea of submission not in a way to help our family grow deeper in relationship with Christ, but we use it as a way to continue to have oppression and control. So, part of the role of a godly man in a home is to submit yourself underneath the authoritative leadership of Christ and understand that you operate underneath him. In the same way, wives have the responsibility to not only submit themselves under the authoritative leadership of Christ, but as Christ is the head of the home, or as the man and the husband is the head of the home, just as Christ is the head of the church, there's also a leadership that exists underneath, or there's a following that exists underneath the husband's leadership that I think is important for the family dynamic. And I think it really does promote the unity and the perseverance of the family in the relationship of the gospel moving forward. Because that's really the goal of what we are trying to accomplish and what we're trying to do every single day. So then, if both man and woman in the home, both husband and wife, are responsible to respectively submit to the things that are being placed in leadership over them, then it makes sense that there might be different ways to understand those roles and to understand those perspectives within the home. Now, in our culture and in our day and age, it's not uncommon for us to believe that there are certain roles that a woman has and there are certain roles that a man has. There are certain, distinguishing things that the husband's supposed to do. There are certain distinguishing things that the wife's supposed to do. And the truth is these things in our culture have fluctuated over the years, where before it could be that a husband is the responsible one to go out and to make the resources, the money, and to bring that home. And the wife's responsibility is to stay home, to cook, clean, and raise the children. And this is a dynamic that continues to exist in many homes today. And many homes operate in this way, even in our culture today. But, years ago, we began the process of seeing more and more two-income families where both husband and wife had to be responsible for working and providing so that the whole family in itself could thrive and flourish in the economy. And what we find is within that, sometimes the roles, or what we understand as roles of a husband and wife, tend to shift and change. Even in our home, we have the dynamic where Melina is able to stay at home and she's able to homeschool our kids and she is able to take care and manage the things of our home. This does not mean that I leave the house and give a list of orders and demands and expect the home to look a certain way when I get back. But rather, when I come home from the day, it is my responsibility then to share in the load and the responsibility of the home. that may mean that I watch the kids for a little bit so that Melina can go take care of some of the things that she's been neglecting all day. Like maybe having a quiet moment to herself where, for me, it's simply shutting the door of my office and I can create a quiet moment for myself. It may mean that as the dishes have piled up from the countless amounts of food experiments that go on in our homes, or the washing of dishes, or just cooking meals and doing life together, that as we do those things, that there are moments where I may have to step in and just help take care of some of that. Or that the kids have gotten a hold of the scissors and they've decided that paper is confetti and they've created a mess all over the house and the laundry is piled up because it's just the way that homes operate. It doesn't mean that I sit back and say, man, I don't know how you're going to get all that done. But rather I begin to beg that question of how can I help? Right? How can I help? How can I lead? And how can I serve my family in the way that Christ has served the church by giving himself up for her? See, part of the leadership means that even the things that I don't enjoy doing, which I'll be honest, laundry, I do not enjoy doing because I always fold the clothes in the wrong way and it frustrates me. If there's any chore that I love more than anything else, it is doing the dishes. And there's something about a clean kitchen that just makes me happy in life. I will even vacuum a floor and I will mop. Oh, I love mopping. There's something about that glisten on the floor that just makes me happy, right? But the sole responsibility of managing our home is not placed on the shoulders of my spouse, because we believe that it is a cooperative effort that we have where we work in cooperation with one another. And in so doing, our desire is that we are together seeking and desiring to raise our family in such a way that they can grow in faith and maturity. So it's hard to really define what a godly man's role and a godly woman's role is. I could just do a simple, rundown and just say, as a godly man, one of the things that we think of is that, you need to be leading in devotion every day. Crack out the guitar, learn three chords, play every worship song in the book. Maybe teach them how to do song and dance in the key of David's psalm, and make sure that they're at church every Sunday and dress properly. But I mean, we could go off and list these things and say, here's your task list of what it means to be a godly man in your home. But I think the biggest reality that we have to come to, and the biggest reality that we have to understand, is first and foremost, as a godly man, your primary role that you have in your home exists between you being able to keep and refresh every single day your relationship with God. That your primary role every single day is to make sure that you are in step with what God has for you. Because the culture and your family dynamic is going to shift regularly. And the tasks of that are going to look different daily. But the one thing that can maintain every single day is that you as a man develop a routine to keep your life straight with God. But I think that piece exists for both offices of the home. And I think when we can keep our relationship in lockstep with the things of God, then what we're going to find in that process is that we are able to effectively lead and manage our home in such a way that we're not just doing it to bring peace into our home, but we're doing it because we want to honor God and we want to respect one another. Now, again, this is a topic that has so many different avenues that it can run down, and it has so many different ways that we can interpret and take it. But if there's a key takeaway from this, I want it to be this. Men, let me encourage you, and whether you are married or not married, whether you have, been married, or whether you are, whatever your relationship at this point looks like, men, you have a responsibility to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You have a responsibility to then teach the things that God tells you and that God gives you to teach those things in such a loving and humble manner that you were so honored that you get to serve the God that loves you. And you teach those things diligently, daily. And wives, as husbands are teaching the things of God, you're able to come alongside them and help encourage them. And you're also able to help grow one another into a deeper and focused relationship together. When I think of that idea of submission, the things that come to my mind is this. As a godly man, I am responsible to submit myself under the authority of Christ. And in so doing, I find that my position is to serve my family with joy and gladness, enduring all suffering, just as Christ would do for his church, in order that they might know the love and the grace and the peace and the mercy that comes from knowing Jesus. And if I can do that, then I've accomplished a lot that day. So again, this is a topic where if you want to know some more things on, or if you maybe have some thoughts on it, I'm all ears. You can send any requests you got to charles@pbcshawbro.com. I will check those things. I'll listen in on them, and I will try to provide my 2 cents where I can. But Providence family, I really hope that this has hopefully been encouraging for you, maybe even a little bit challenging for you. And I just want to again say thank you so much as I covet your prayers this week. And just pray for safety and for safe travels for me, for my family. And just pray that God continues to bless us as a church moving forward. Providence family, hope that it's a good week, and I will catch you next week.